Lord, thank you for this day that we can come to you and these prayers that Andy has just together we've prayed. And Lord, we would ask that you would sharpen our minds and open our hearts, soften our hearts to your word to us, which is good and life-giving. Evoke in us images and have your way, Lord, that your word might accomplish that which you intend. We ask these things in the name of our King, who is one of us and one with us, Jesus Emmanuel. Amen. Our first reading is from John's Gospel, and it's the very first part of that gospel, and hear now God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. For the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And I'm skipping down to verse 9. The true light, which enlightens everyone, has come into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. For no one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. This is the word of the Lord. Well, St. John was writing his gospel as an old man, and with the wisdom and reflection that comes with age. John is very careful in his writing, wishing to convey with depth and clarity and passion that Jesus, this baby we're celebrating, is indeed the Messiah, the Son of God. And that by believing, we might have life in his name. That is why John is writing this gospel. It's a very practical, practical purpose. And John is aware that he is writing to people who were not yet born, you and me, and others. And so St. John is careful to say what he means and to choose his words with precision. But John isn't merely a wordsmith. He is a poet and a theologian. And so he uses words that evoke images with his readers. But these images can sometimes go missing when bridging the cultural and linguistic distances time and geography create. So we have to think a little bit. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the image painted here by St. John evokes the time in the desert when God's people were between slavery in Egypt. They were free from Egypt, but they weren't in the promised land yet. And say they were in this in-between wandering time when Exodus tells us God tabernacled with his people. And the word that St. John uses there in our reading here about God dwelling or God living amongst us is that same word that the Old Testament the Greek translators used, that John's first readers would be very familiar with, and that Eugene Peterson in his paraphrase of the Bible, The Message, gets well. God pitched his tent amongst us. God tabernacled with his people. And they understood this. The image comes back of Moses coming down the mountain, his face aglow. People not being able to approach the mountain because of God's glory, but it's that God's glory came and lived with his people in this tent, in the Holy of Holies here, that was unapproachable by most people, except for a few times of the year they could go in. It's this same glory, the Shekinah glory, that John is reflecting on and marveling that this is Jesus here that I walked with for 3 years, that I laid my head against his breast, that he was on the cross there, and he said, take care of my mother. This man was reflecting on this amazing reality of the eternal Son of God becoming one of us and taking on our flesh. So that same glory that was unapproachable by common man or common women in the desert is here with us now, now and forever, enfleshed as Mary's son, Joseph. But when we speak about the eternal Son of God being sent by the Father and taking on human flesh in Mary's womb, we, like St. John, need to be clear in our thinking of what he's saying. We must not make the mistake, as one commentator says, of thinking of Jesus as being merely a divine man, or on the other hand, being merely a human God. Jesus is the God-man. He is fully and uniquely God, as well as being completely human being, human. He is God with us, God for us, and God in us. As a man, he is the one who has experienced all the trials, all the joys, all the sufferings, all the losses, all the gains, all the temptations, and all the vicissitudes of this life. God in Jesus understands. And in reflecting on this incredible mystery, St. Augustine, 1700 years ago, said this: man's maker was made man so that he, the ruler of the stars, might nurse at his mother's breast, that the one who is called the bread of life might hunger, that the fountain of everything might thirst, that the light might sleep, that the way would be tired on his journey, that truth might be accused of false witness, that the teacher might be beaten with whips, and the foundation of the pillars of the earth might be suspended on wood, and that strength might grow weak, and that the healer might be wounded, that life might die. Among many things, many other things, one of the things that this means is that we have a God who has great empathy with us. It's been said the difference between sympathy and empathy is that if you're someone who's walking along and you fall in a hole, someone who is sympathetic will look over and say, boy, that must hurt. I feel really bad for you. But someone who is empathetic will jump down in the hole with you and say, I know what you're feeling. I know the way out follow me. Let me help you. We have a God who has empathy for us. We are not alone anymore. Today we live in a world that is more connected than any time in history. We're going to go home and call our son and parents in Kansas and watch them on our phones. We're going to call our other son in Illinois. We're going to call Barb's mom in Texas and family in California. And we're just connected like no other time in history. And yet, we're also more lonely than any other time in history than we've been. Loneliness is rampant, an epidemic. And the Christian message, the message we have, is Emmanuel, God with us, for us, and in us. Someone with human flesh who understands us from the inside out. And also someone who will be with us personally through his body, the church, you and I. We have that privilege. But not only that, and this is a mystery here. By becoming human, God has lifted up our humanity and taking it in to the Trinity, the Godhead. There is a fully human being who is a part of the Trinity now, Jesus. You see, God, and I want you to listen carefully here because I don't want to misconstrue anything. God doesn't simply give us his love. He didn't create in order to have an object or objects to love. This would make him somehow incomplete without an object outside of himself to love. But because God is Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in a love relationship, perfectly happy, perfectly harmonious for all eternity, God shares that love, his love, with us. It is always God, it is always in God's nature to share, to bring others in to the joy that he has with his Son and the Holy Spirit. And so he shares the love the Son and Father and Holy Spirit have always had with us. He brings us into that because Jesus has united himself to our flesh. And by virtue then, our flesh is united with him in Christ. He brings us in. He lifts us up to share in his divinity. St. Peter tells us in his epistle that we are partakers in the divine nature. Think about that for a moment. The extent of this is that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit takes women and men from every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation, and unites them, us, to himself in Christ. That is a great message that we have, that we get to share, that we get to be a part of. I'm calling people to that reality that God has done for us in Jesus. And that is good news indeed. Earlier, Russ and Rebecca played Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence for the offertory. That is a chant. It isn't initially, it's a hymn, but it initially was a chant the church does and often Orthodox liturgy still uses. It's about 1,700 years old. It's quite ancient. And if you want to turn in your hymnals, 178, there's a rendering of it in English. But I want to just read this to you. And this is more, it's not exactly what it is in there. But let us reflect a bit on this as we move into singing and other scriptures. Let's reflect on this incredible thing of God becoming one of us in the weakness of a baby, so that we might share in this Trinitarian love relationship that they have shared, that God has in himself for all eternity. let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descending, comes our homage to demand. King of kings, yet born of Mary, as of old on earth he stood, Lord of lords in human vesture, in the body and the blood. He will give to all the faithful his own self for heavenly food. Rank on rank, the host of heaven spreads its vanguard on the way as the light of light descendeth from the realms of endless day. Comes the powers of hell to vanquish as the darkness clears away. At his feet, the six-winged seraph, cherubim with sleepless eye, veil their faces to the presence as with ceaseless voice they cry, Alleluia, 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 Lord Most High. Merry Christmas indeed, for God has become one of us. Amen. Let's
1:15-20 will be our first reading, and it's found on page 20 of the New Testament portion of your Bible. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he may come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood on his cross. Is Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messengers who announce peace and who bring good news, who announce salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices, together they sing for joy, for in the plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, your ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Now,